Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issue. Debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. But Nizzy Nay and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to another episode of It's Real Talk Radio. I am your host tonight, Nizzy Nay, and I have the panel with me.
This is Misbehave.
And Jeff.
And Tay Real is MIA right now. He'll be on a little bit later. And tonight's episode is cyberbullying and their effects. Now, I personally have never witnessed cyberbullying. I never witnessed it because when I was growing up, if somebody was like teasing you or anything like that, they would say it to your face, or you would have they would say meet me after fifth period, it's on, or it would be going at recess.
You know,
it would fight you. It wasn't none of this new, you know, technology thing. It wasn't nothing like that.
Yeah, we didn't have that kind of technology back then.
I know.
We didn't have that technology.
Well, I was going to ask y'all, like, if technology was accessible as it was now, you know, isn't it not that much older than me? This baby, like, probably my mom's age, right?
I'll slap the shit out of you.
I'm just kidding. Oh, gosh. Well, you know,
how old
like,
is
you
how old
like,
is your mother? How old is your mother?
Early 40s.
Yeah, okay, I'm 35, so back the fuck up.
Well, you're close. You could be my mother if you wanted to.
How the fuck am I going to be your mom? What was I, 14 when I had you?
Yeah, you could be my mother. You was early age. You could be my mother.
What, I had you at 14? Oh, my God. Look. Don't you ever in your life.
We're back there with the desktops and the AOL and the just starting out.
Listen, we had technology, but we didn't have that technology available to kids our age. That was our parents were doing stuff like that.
Right.
We didn't have social media and Facebook and MySpace, and all of that was not out yet.
Wait, y'all didn't have AOL?
None of that.
Nobody had an AOL.
No. I'm not saying nobody had
AOL.
No, I'm not saying
you
had AOL.
But that didn't come until later.
When we were in school, which is the bullying stage... Yeah, we didn't have any of that stuff. No, kids didn't like talk to each other through the internet. We didn't do that then.
Oh.
There was no social media sites.
Okay. Well, I was just a baby. I had social media.
We come from the age, like Nizzy Nay said, if y'all had beef with each other, bitch, meet me down the hallway is after six periods.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And now, today, technology is so huge. Like, I see, like, little five-year-olds having, you know, iPhones. So now,
yeah,
you know, everything is on the internet, and that's how they're getting people now, is on the internet. I guess
now you get to be bullied at home and at school and at home. That's the bad part. The bullies can reach you in your bedroom now.
Yep.
I thought I was trying to explain to somebody. Oh, go ahead, Nikki.
The bad thing about cyberbullying, though, is that you do it online, and then the whole world sees it. And that's the
right.
bad thing about it. It's like when you were back in the school, back in the day in the school, they say it to your face, you have a fight, and the beef will be over. But now, on the internet, it reaches everybody. Like, I mean,
everybody is around while you're being cut down and hurt. Everybody's
yep.
watching. And online, in the social media sites, people can comment and come in a lot easier than they would have if it was a face-to-face confrontation.
And on top of that, it's on record forever. Like, the internet is forever.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So, like, it will never go away. Whatever, like, you can Google, like, I think I typed in my name in Google one time, and my MySpace is still available. Like, you can go and type in my name, and my actual name is my MySpace. So, anything that goes online, it stays online.
Yeah,
it does.
It doesn't go away. And now, you know, it's not just one venue. It's not just, like you say, it's not just Facebook. It's not just, well, it's not MySpace really at all anymore. But it's not Facebook. It's got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now it is Snapchat or something. Snapchat, is that what it is?
Yeah, Snapchat is like
that's the new thing now, Snapchat. That's the new thing.
Yeah.
I've never even been on it.
Guys, when that first came out, everybody had the idea that Snapchat, all the pictures go away after 30 seconds or something. Those pictures never go away. Like, when that first came out, all I kept hearing was like, oh, you can take pictures, but then they delete after 30 seconds or whatever. Everybody had the impression that they delete and they're gone forever. They're really not. Like, I know a couple of people that I forgot how to do it. I forgot how to do it, but I think everybody can do it. But there's a couple of people that I know of that will show, like, will bring the pictures back up. Like, there's something that you can do.
Can you explain how Snapchat works? Because I have no idea.
I don't use it, but it's just like, it's more of like a taking a picture thing. Like, you can take a picture.
Like an Instagram?
Yeah, sort of like an Instagram, but you can do it on Instagram. You can't chat. Like, you can put in the comments and stuff, but Snapchat is actually like Snap. Like, I can sit here and be on Snapchat with you, Misbehave, and I'm sending pictures back and forth and captioning and stuff like that. It's mainly pictures and videos.
Oh.
It's mainly like pictures and videos and stuff like that, but you can still chat. Like, you can chat, take pictures and all that. It's just another instant messaging kind of thing. But
right.
when you take the, like I said, when everybody had this impression that after 30 seconds, the picture just disappears. But everybody was under the impression that it deletes. It never deletes. And on top of that, that 30 seconds can go away, but you don't know if that person has screenshotted your picture. So if you're sitting there taking nudies and sending it to your boyfriend, he can screenshot. It only takes, 5 seconds? It only takes, like, 3 seconds to screenshot something. So those pictures never go away. And I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of people who were like, I can take a picture of my wiener and send it to the send it to this girl, and you don't know, she Snapchatted it, shot it, and sent it to the whole school. Like, you never really know. So,
right.
I don't know.
And there is even, like, you know, not only are people being bullied, like, through their social media sites, as in people, like, just commenting on their stuff and, you know, just talking about them on different pages, but people actually create fake profiles for other people.
They do.
And, you know, say negative derogatory things as if the person is actually writing it about themselves and say, oh, well, I slept with so-and-so and I've slept with all these people and I've done this and that, and it's really, you know, the bully that's created this profile, but it just feeds into the rumor mill.
Oh, can I just say that I was actually a victim of cyberbullying?
Really?
Oh, wow.
I was actually a real victim, because, and it was crazy because the girl that did it, they were actually my baby father's sister and her girlfriend. She was a lesbian, so they were living in his mom's house, and they were living in the room across the way from us. And the whole time that I was pregnant, you know, they were so sweet and so, you know, friendly and, oh, my gosh, I love you. You're like another sister to me. And then after I had the baby, the whole fake actors dropped and they turned really evil. And when Xavier was 4 months old, they actually jumped me. I have no idea why. I have no explanation for it, but it started out as a fight, but then the other one came in and it turned into like an actual beatdown. And I got my hair ripped out. I had to go to the hospital to get the pain medications and all that. So, but after that, a little bit after that, they, some kind of way, they hacked into my Facebook and they wrote all these nasty, like, not even just, oh, I'm a bitch, not a lot. No, I'm getting fucked in the ass by a whole bunch of men, and I'm a hoe and all of that. And it was just all over my Facebook. And my dad actually had, like, my dad had called me. That's how I found out, because my dad called me, and he was like, he was like, what's going on in your Facebook? And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I haven't really even posted, because I hadn't even posted a status in, like, a couple of days. So I was like, well, what do you mean? What's going on with it? It's stagnant. And he was like, no, it's not. You need to go look at your Facebook right now and then call me back. So I go look at it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. So I called my mom. I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, you need to report it. You need to report it to the police or something. And I was like, well, I don't know. I can't prove that they did it, so that's not going to do me any good. Like, I didn't know, right. I couldn't prove that they did it, so there was nothing
I could
do.
Well, can't they track it to an IP address?
Mm-hmm.
They can track it to an IP address.
But they were in the same, because what was going on was, like, I didn't have, like, my own electronic device. Like, I didn't have a laptop or an iPad, so I was using his mother's iPad. His mother had a little tablet, and I was using that. And if I had to take a stab in the dark, I think that they knew that I was using the tablet. So I think they went through the history, found my Facebook, and I probably, you know, went back and logged in or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Or did whatever it is that you have to do to get through to somebody's Facebook. I think that's how they got into it. Because I guess when you go through your history, you can click on a page and it'll come up and it'll still be logged in or something. Because I think I've done that before. So after that, I didn't see any kind of point in calling the police, because I was like, I can't prove that. You know, they're going to be like, you prove that you didn't write this. Like, prove you're not setting them up. So I just, you know, I just let it. I didn't use the iPad. I didn't use the tablet anymore. But I, you know, everything that they were saying, like, it was a form of cyberbullying. So
were you still with your son's father?
Yeah, we were together, and we were all living in the
same
house.
Were they doing that to you?
I have no idea. It was like, to me, the whole time that I've known them, they've been very sweet. They've helped me through a lot of things. So it was really shocking that, like, after I had Xavier, that they just turned on me. They turned on me pretty quickly. So I'm guessing they were, you know, they're being totally fake the whole time. I have no idea why they just changed like that. Like, I really don't. I have no real reasoning, because I helped them through a lot. They were very violent. They were physically violent to each other. Like, I helped them through all of that stuff. So I had no explanation as to why the sudden change. Like, why am I the enemy now? I had no idea.
So did they stop?
They stopped out. No, I moved out. I moved out. I got sick of it. I got sick of them. I got sick of his mother. You know, I just moved out. I was like, I'm done with this. Because it was after they jumped me. Like, I was like, I can't, you know, I can't really be in this negative. I can't be having my son in this negative environment. Everything around me was just negative. So I got out.
So you're a new mother and they jump you.
A new mother and they jump me, all because I said, I don't even remember what I said, but I remember that she was mad because I wanted to take my 4-month-old son to the city. Like, it wasn't even about him. It was just, we had to do something in the city, and he was going with me. And she got an attitude about that, because she was like, he's a freaking newborn. He doesn't need to be around all that dirty air. And I was like, well, what do you have to say for the people that are in New York City that get born there? But, you know, that made her mad. And then I probably, I think I really believe that I said, well, we'll just go ahead and take the car then, and that made her snap, and she charged after me, and then that was the end of it. I think we've been sitting there, I don't know, and then her girlfriend came out, and she jumped in, and that she was actually the one that pulled my
so
hair
you're,
out.
So they beat you up right there where your baby was there?
Yeah, Xavier was in the car seat. Like, he pretty much witnessed the whole thing, because I was about to put him in the car, and I thought the car seat
jumped. Oh, my God.
Out the door. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that was the worst, probably the worst year of my life. Because they really, beat me down. But I was a victim of, that was cyberbullying, regular bullying, all that.
So did they just stop posting on your Facebook? Is that how, or did you just cancel that page and get a new one, or?
I reported it. I tried to delete it, but it didn't, I don't know what happened to it, but it's not there anymore. But I reported it, and when it takes a while, when you delete it, it takes a while for it to actually delete, and I didn't know that.
You mean you reported it to Facebook, correct?
Yeah, I reported it and said it wasn't me. I just said, whatever I could do to get it deleted, but they deleted it.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't like the fact that it was there, because like I said, everything stays on the internet, but I just reported it. I don't think that I waited long enough to see if it was deleted. I think, when you delete it, it takes about maybe a week or something, and I don't think I waited, so I was like, oh, it's not deleting. I got to, so I just reported it. But it was crazy. And it was really crazy to me because my dad, who, he talks to me sporadically, because he's busy with his life. He was the one that called me. Like, that was probably the craziest call I've ever gotten because my father saw that. My father doesn't even live around. My father lives, 30 minutes away from him. And he probably all the time. He's not even on Facebook all the time, but the fact that day he decided to go on Facebook, and this is what he saw. This is what he saw on his daughter's page.
Thank God somebody called you.
Yeah, that's scary because I don't know how many other people saw it. Like, nobody else called me, so I'm guessing, I guess nobody was paying attention to it, but I don't know how many people saw that. But nobody else called. Nobody else said they saw it. I mean, my mom knew about it because I told her about it. Everybody that knows, I probably told. But nobody ever called me and said, hey, what's going on, except for my dad.
Wow.
So cyberbullying is real.
It is. It is.
It has a far-reaching effect.
Yeah. And for some people, I watched this movie, and it's actually called Cyberbullying. And what happened is these two girls, they were friends or whatnot, and this one girl, she meets a guy online. And they're just chatting. It was kind of like Facebook. All their friends were on there, and they could chat, and the pictures would be on there and all that. And she met this one guy, and they started talking, and she liked him, and she was really close with her friend. Her friend got kind of jealous. So what ends up happening is the guy that was online ended up being her friend. Her friend created a fake profile. It was the guy. She put a guy picture up there, and she was actually the one sitting there talking to the girl, and then one day, her friend ends up typing up all these things about the girl, bad things, she's a slut, she's a hoe, and all this, she slept with this person and that person, and it became, really big in school, everybody knew about it, and she ends up trying to kill herself. She takes a whole bunch of pills and ends up in the hospital because of it.
It ruins people's reputation.
Did you see on Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that movie before. That was a crazy movie.
I know.
I mean, it's such a far-reaching effect when someone does that because not only do they post these things about you, but I know on Facebook, they'll tag everybody else to make sure that everyone else witnesses what they've said to you.
Yep, and there's no taking it back. It's not like, oh, I'm going to type this and then tag everybody else in it. Okay, no, I don't want to do this anymore and delete it. Like, you can't even, like, I mean, you can do that, but once it's seen, it's seen. Like, there's no going back from
the
that.
Damage is done.
Right.
Right.
And it's really sad. It's really sad that you have to, like, go through, like, it makes you, like, to me, it makes the person that decides to do that, it makes them really look like a loser, because it makes you, like, it's like, you don't have nothing better to do with your time, like, you don't have any extracurriculars or nothing, like, you don't go to church, like, you need something to do with your life. If you have all that time to sit there and make up stuff about, or make a whole, like, I think, I'm probably getting it mixed up with a different movie, but there's a different movie on Lifetime that was like, it was more bullying than it was cyberbullying, but they did do a little bit of cyberbullying too. Like, they, the one girl, it was, it comes on Lifetime all the time. It's called Odd Girl Out. And she, you know, the little girl.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
You've seen it before? Yeah, you saw the part where the girl, the girl is supposed to be her friend, goes and type, you know, she's I am in her, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the whole conversation is out in the school, and everybody's laughing because, she thought she was really my friend. Ha, ha, ha. Like,
yep.
Right.
Yep, that was all cyberbullying. Because most kids that are
cyberbullied are being bullied in school as well. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
There's nowhere that they can get away to.
I was trying to explain that to somebody earlier when I was talking about doing the show, when we were talking about doing the show, I was trying to explain to somebody that it's not just online. Like, you can't just click X and say, oh, well, I'm a black this way. Like, you can, but that's not where it ends. Like, it doesn't end there. But,
yeah. There's more to it.
Yeah, but somebody thought that, like, you know, the person that I was talking to was like, oh, well, I think that the, you know, the person, not that, I don't know how to say it without making them look like an asshole, but they, you know, they were like, well, why can't they just not respond? Like, why are they still responding? Why are they responding? Because it's giving them ammo. And I kind of, like, I don't know if I see their point, but it's just not that easy. I don't really think that it is that easy. It definitely, cyberbullying has its levels. Like, there's a level where you know, you're just talking mess, you're making a website about that person or something. You know, there's a lot of levels to cyberbullying, and it's not just as easy as clicking an X and saying, oh, I'm not going to talk to this person. Like, it's just not that easy.
Yeah. I mean, people that like, bring up people, even kids even create, like you say, websites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we hate this person, and just everybody comes on there and just completely bashes this one kid.
Right.
I mean, why? I don't get it. I've never, ever, ever got the reason why bullies do what they do. I mean, in person, online, whatever. I was always that kid that stuck up for kids that were being bullied, you know? I was bullied in elementary school a little bit, you know, but I think everybody has a bully in elementary school at some point. Either you are the bully or you have one. And I didn't go through it when I got into middle school and high school, but I've definitely run across it many a times. And I always, you know, stuck up for the kid that was being bullied. I always, you know, even if it was people that I was cool with, I would say, hey, man, you know, just let it go, you know. We got better stuff to do. You know, I'd make it sound like not to make them feel like I was trying to be like, oh, you're stupid for bullying, even though I felt that way.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to anger them more because I knew it would just take it out. They would just take it out worse on that kid they were bullying. But I don't understand the joy that you get out of hurting someone else. I think there's definitely a character flaw in people that choose to bully other kids. Something within themselves that's lacking.
I don't know. I don't get it either.
Is bullying so bad to the point where, you know, it makes people want to kill themselves? Like, a lot of people do suicide over it. I mean,
sure.
Do you honestly think that cyberbullying can really do that to a person?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if, you know, in today's society, social media sites is huge. Kids especially spend upwards of, I don't know, 75, I would say about 75% of their leisure time on some sort of social media website. And I think that if you're being bullied constantly, and let's not forget, it's not just online. Cyberbullying is actually defined as any kind of bullying electronically. It could be text messages. It could be emails. It could be rumors posted on the media site. It could be pictures, videos, any of that. But it's also text messages and emails. So it's not just on the social media sites. So if someone is being constantly, well, first of all, let's put it this way. First of all, these people that are being bullied are kids that are vulnerable already. They're kids who probably have low self-esteem. They don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they're pretty enough or smart enough or, you know, popular enough. So these bullies are playing on their insecurities. They're making them feel just validating the fact in these kids' minds that, oh, I really am worth nothing. I really am ugly. I mean, if all these people think so, it must be true. Because not only do they do it, but they, like we said, they bring in other kids and it becomes this huge thing. So I think that definitely people can be pushed to commit suicide. I mean, it's been countless incidents of it through over the years in the 2000s. I remember a few years back, I'm not sure exactly when, but I'm going to say like around between 2004 and 2006, somewhere around there, we had like an epidemic of suicides. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like this huge thing. There was like something like 10 suicides from kids being cyberbullied in the amount of like 3 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's too much. I mean, you know, when you're bullied at school, that's enough. But at least, you know, when you go home, you feel like you have somewhere safe to go where people love you and you don't have to deal with that. But if you go home and you still can't get away, where else do these kids have to turn? Most of them are too afraid to tell their parents. They're too ashamed. And, you know, they just internalize all of that negativity.
And sooner or later, that builds up and you can't take it anymore. And those kids that aren't strong, you know, they don't have that in them. They don't have that tough skin. Because, you know, like, I probably have been called a hoe. I've had rumors started about me. I've been through all of that. But I have a tough enough skin to where I can just blow it off. Like, okay, and what do you want me to do about this? What do you want to alert New York Times or something? Like, I have a tough skin. But there's people that don't have tough skin like that. They can't blow it off. It's like that gets into, just like you said, it gets into their mind, and then they don't have it at home. They don't have that love at home. They don't have that attention at home to say, you know, I am worth something. And sooner or later, they just blow. They're like, you know what? Forget this. I don't need this. I can be dead somewhere. Like, I don't need to be dealing with it. And that's when they kill themselves. It actually can't get a lot worse. Like, it probably would
be easier. I actually have, when researching.
Oh, I think misbehave. We just lost misbehave for a minute. That was a little awkward.
So she was right in the middle of the thing. Because I was like, what's
going on? She was just like talking, and then she said something, and then we just lost her.
How much you want to bet she's still talking? How much you want to bet she's still talking? Because I know, I don't know
she
how many times she's probably explaining the whole study and everything.
There
well,
she is. She's there.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Sorry. Just kidding.
Let us know what the study is.
I don't even know what happened. So, okay, there's a website called nobullying.com, and they have a lot of different stuff about cyberbullying and just regular bullying in face-to-face. But they do have a page, and it's unforgettable cyberbullying cases where, you know, things like have ended in suicide, things have ended in changes of laws, things like that. So I thought maybe we could go through some of these throughout the show and we can kind of see where people are getting to the point of committing suicide or kind of laws that are changing. So the first one I have here is a boy named Ryan Halligan, and this says that his birthday was December 18th, 1989, and he died in October 7th, 2003. So I am LD at math. Somebody tell me how old this kid was. 14? Is that right?
1989
to 2003, 14?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so according to Ryan's story, the website, which is operated by Ryan's parents, John and Kelly Halligan, early concerns about Ryan's speech, language, and motor skills development led to him receiving special education services from preschool through the fourth grade. Ryan's academic and physical struggles made him the regular target for a bully at school between the fifth and seventh grade. In February 2003, a fight between Ryan and the bully not only ended the harassment at school, but led to a supposed friendship. However, after Ryan shared an embarrassing personal story, the newly found friend returned to being a bully and used the information to start a rumor that Ryan was gay. The taunting continued into the summer of 2003. Although Ryan thought that he had struck a friendship with a pretty popular girl through AOL Instant Messenger, instead, he later learned that the girl and her friends thought it would be funny to make Ryan think the girl liked him and to use it to have him share more personally embarrassing material, which was then copied and pasted into AIM exchanges with her friends. On October 7th, 2003, Ryan hanged himself in the family bathroom. After his son's death, John discovered a folder filled with IM exchanges throughout that summer that made him realize that technology was being utilized as weapons far more effective and reaching than the simple ones we had as kids. The aftermath of this is there were no criminal charges filed following Ryan's death because no criminal law applied to the circumstances. 7 months after Ryan's death, Vermont's bully prevention law was signed into law by Governor Jim Douglas. John Halligan also authored Vermont's suicide prevention law, which passed unchanged in April 2006. So this is the case in a lot of states that I've noticed when I've been doing the research, is that it takes a child's death, suicide, in order to make this law be enacted, some sort of anti-bullying law.
Now,
a lot of states have it now, but not all. And a lot of states do have some type of cyberbullying law, but it's really the laws are against cyberstalking and cyber harassment. They say that cyberbullying is cyber harassment except with children. Cyber harassment is adults. Cyberbullying is children. And so a lot of these states are changing these laws for cyber harassment and cyber stalking to include cyber bullying. But unfortunately, it takes a tragedy before that even happens.
That's sad. That's sad. And you know why it's sad? It's because we know that it exists. And we know that it exists. Like, we should not be waiting for people to, like, they shouldn't be waiting for kids to die to make that effective. Like, it shouldn't, like, the fact that we know now that it is real, it happens, it's out there, this is what it is. Like, this is what happens, this is what it leads to. We know the science, like, we don't know the sciences behind it, but we do know that it happens. So it shouldn't, like, now that we know, people should be passing laws like crazy. Like,
proactive.
Right, like, oh my God, oh, somebody's killing themselves over something that their classmates said and over social media. Well, let's make this illegal. Like, even if they can't really, like, stop it, at least make somebody pay for it. Because you said that there was no criminal charges filed. There should have been criminal charges
filed.
But
they couldn't have charged criminally because there was no law yet. And that's
right.
The sad
part. Now that we know, there should be a law everywhere. There should be a law in all 50 states
yeah.
that if this happens, this is what, if you do this, this is what, this is how you're going to pay. And I think that they should be charged as adults because they're acting like adults. I think kids should be being charged as adults for doing such, for pushing somebody to that level. It's one thing to do it, oh, you know, you do it a couple of times, but if you're constantly doing it, not even, you don't even have a right to do it the first time, but to keep constantly doing it, because, I mean, to me, it sounds like, you know, from the stories that I've heard over the years, it doesn't sound like this has, all of that has happened in a week. That sounds like months and months and months of things happening, and it accumulates and it builds up into somebody. Like, that doesn't sound like something that'll happen in 3 days. That sounds like something that'll happen.
Well, this case started in February of 2003. Was when they supposedly ended their fighting at school and became friends. It was in February 2003. And then it continued into the summer of 2003, and that's when the AOL Messenger incidents were happening over the summer, and he ended up killing himself in October of 2003. So that's about 8 months.
That's about 8 months.
Wow.
So that's something that had to be accumulated. That did not. Right. It didn't happen in a week. It shouldn't. It should never get to that point. Like, they should. Like, I mean, there's so much that the government can really do. I understand that, but they should be making things happen. Like that's something. These are people's lives that we're talking about. Like, I mean, you know, it's not like they can't stop murder, but you know, they put laws in order to try. They try to stop
children
murder.
Are
like
still
started like this.
Children are still trying to find out who they are. They are dealing with identity issues. They're dealing with finding themselves. And if the people that are around them are constantly telling them that they're not good enough, that they're too ugly, that they're stupid, that they're hoes, that they're sluts, that they're whatever. You know, their brain is still growing. They're still learning things. They're still trying to find out who they are. They're going to start to believe those things because they're not adults. They don't have the perspective that adults have. They don't understand the underlying things that are going on in people that do things like that. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of the parents out there are not staying on top of what's going on with their children's social media accounts. So there's no adult usually involved in this. Without adults.
Wow. That was a really great point. That was a really powerful point you just made.
I mean, without that, the adult influence in this whole thing that's going on with the bullying, there's nobody to look to as a touchstone, nobody to be that voice of reason. And left in the hands of children, this is what happens, unfortunately. That's why there needs to be laws. That's why children, parents need to stay involved in their kids' lives. They need to talk to their children, make sure they talk to their kids about the risks of online connections and things that can happen. They need to know all their passwords to their kids' social media accounts. They need to know what social media accounts they have. They need to have the passcodes to their devices. They need to be able to, at any time, pull up their children's accounts and be able to monitor to make sure that everything is not only okay as far as their kids' safety is concerned, but make sure that that their kids are not the bullies. Some, you know, there's parents out there that need to find out if their kids are the ones bullying kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Miss
Lee
just got real.
I mean, I'm serious.
That's not real.
It is. It's true. Parents, the reason
why. I think
why,
they should be the ones to
stop it. A lot of reasons why children are being cyberbullied is because the parents are not staying involved in their children's lives. They're not getting connected to them and talking to them and making sure they are okay with themselves. Because especially like when you're really young or when you're hitting that teenager mark, especially as for females, when you're hitting that teenager mark and, you know, the other girls are making fun of them and calling them hoes and sluts, you should be able to sit down and talk with your kids. And let them understand what is going on to their bodies, you know, all of that. Parents should stay really connected with their children. And a lot of times, you know, you can kind of, you know, help them with this cyberbullying. It's not going to, it won't lead to a suicide or death because of it. So
it needs
to
be preventative. It needs to be prevented, period. You know, if parents stayed on top of these things as far as for staying involved in their children's life, getting into their social media accounts, getting into their devices to find out what's going on, their emails or text messages, like I said, not only are they going to ensure their child's safety, but they're going to ensure that those children, their children are not, you know, harming other kids as far as for bullying. And to prevent this would be the ideal. You know, don't wait until something happens. And it's the same thing on the state level. These states, they're not enacting these bully prevention laws until after children have died. Then they bring in the laws to make it against the law. Now, we've already seen this happen all over the United States, in Canada as well. I don't know about internationally. But once you see 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 states enact laws against cyberbullying because of suicide, you think that everybody would take the hint. It needs to be preventative. It needs to be proactive, not reactive.
Right. Do you guys realize that there are programs? I know that they probably have came up with more now, but there, I remember when I was younger and I had my first computer, and my mother put a program on my computer that emailed her the history, like, kind of emailed her the history of my computer. So it was like, I couldn't go on to anything without her knowing it. So I couldn't go on to any chat rooms, anything. There was nothing. I only used my computer. And she only, like, she didn't, really, truly, she only used it, she only paid attention to that program in the summer because that's when I was at home, alone, by myself, bored, no homework, no nothing. But when I was at school, it was like I was too busy to really be on a computer except for doing homework. But so it was in the summer that she really used it. It told her everything that I was doing. And, I mean, this is 2014. I'm pretty sure that they have upgraded. I know that they have spyware that you can put on your phone, which I think people really should be utilizing by now. But there are so many.
They have it they have that parental type of security. For your children.
They have it for everything, for phones, for iPads. I've seen on little kids that I've been watching, that I was watching before, I've seen, you know, they have their iPads, but I've seen the parental controls that their parents are on. So it's not like it's hard to use. It's not like you got to be like an engineer to figure it out. No, you can go onto your iPad right now. You can go onto your phone right now and download it. There's a bunch of free apps, and there's also apps that you can pay for. Of course, you're going to get the better quality with the ones that you're paying for, but there's so many things that you can do. I've seen, I know somebody right now about, you guys know about Kik. Kik is an instant messenger thing. That,
right.
I just found out that app is supposed to be for 17 and older. And I know a 12-year-old that has that app, and she uses it faithfully. And I didn't realize that people that you didn't know could find you and start talking to you, even if they're not your friends. So you got a 12-year-old who is exposed to the world pretty much. No, her mom don't care about her anyway, but, you know, her mom let her do whatever she wants to. But
and that's the problem.
And her mom doesn't care. Like, she's got an Instagram, a Kik. She's only 12 years old. She should not be on Kik. Kik is not even age appropriate for her, but let alone for that not being age appropriate, like,
it's dangerous.
It's not age appropriate.
It's dangerous.
And you're not monitoring. Right.
And you know what else, too? These kids don't know, they don't realize that in order to protect your address, your phone, your location, you have to enable these settings. And these kids are putting in their home information, their addresses, their telephone numbers, you know, their locations that anybody in the public can see. And they're not setting these. I mean, it's so dangerous.
It's because
we're not talking about only bullies, then. We're talking about, you know, sex offenders and things like that.
Right. I think it's because the little kids trust more. Like, a little kid will trust you quicker than anybody would. Like, little kids put their trust. So when you're a little kid, when you're 12, 13 years old, and you start putting in your address, you're like, oh, you know, the website, whatever you're in, it's going to tell you, oh, your information is safe. Your information is safe
right.
with us. It's okay to put it in. Go ahead, put it in. It's okay. When somebody tells you that as a little kid, like, you're like, well, okay. I mean, what all you have is your word. You, when you're a little kid, you trust. So when you start putting in your address, you don't realize the dangers of that. And if your mom has never told you, hey, don't put your email, like my mom told me, don't never put your, like, even though I'm grown now, I probably do more than I realize, but, you know, she used to tell me, when you use this computer, don't put your personal email on, personal anything on there. Don't put anything personal, no addresses, no names, no nothing. And, I mean, well, I got to the point where when I actually didn't get my first, I did get my first MySpace when I was comfortable enough to open up. Like, I had it long before I was supposed to, but when I was comfortable enough to say, hey, I got this, what are you going to do? You know, she was just like, well, just be careful. Don't put any information. Change your name. Don't even put your real name. I didn't have my real name on MySpace, so. I mean, it's, like, little
right.
kids trust way too. Little kids trust easily, so that's
they're
why.
Very they're very naive. They don't. They believe what adults tell them, and they think, oh, well, this is on the Internet. This must be legit. This must be okay. Without anybody there to tell them otherwise, it's not. And like I said, with the GPS settings on, I mean, they're carrying around their tablet, they're carrying around their phone, and they have their GPS location on. They're telling potential sex offenders exactly where they are at all times.
Mm-hmm. And it's
scary. It's scary. And I guess they're telling their bullies where they are, too. So that's
mm-hmm.
not a good thing either. But it's interesting you said over the summer that your mom was monitoring you over the summer, because I found out that bullying actually increases over the summer because children are always, yes,
nobody
because they are constantly on access with their social media sites. They have time on their
that's
hands.
That's true. They have all that time to. They get bored and they start getting online.
I want to know what gives them the what goes inside somebody's head that says this is okay, let me go ahead and do this, like let me
because there's something wrong with that person. Is there something wrong with that person?
They feel bad about themselves. They are missing something.
Yes.
It makes them. It boosts their self-esteem. To downgrade and to demean other kids, that makes them feel better about themselves. Something is wrong. There is some sort of disconnect in that family. I mean, if you need to hurt other people to make yourself feel better, your self-esteem is low and you're really the one that's in need.
Yeah, I want to see that moment click. Like, I want to be inside that. I want to be a fly on the wall inside that person's skull to see the click, like, to see this is a good idea, let me do this right now. And I think if I had to take a stab in the dark, it would be, like, I would think that that's, like, an impulse kind of thing. I think that probably scientifically, that whoever is doing that has an impulse problem. Like you said,
you can't take it back.
Because it's like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, it's probably not even something, it's probably not something that they really, really put a lot of thought into it. Like, from what it looks like to me, it looks like they didn't put that much thought into it. Like, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an issue.
Yes, you're right. Actually, Adam, I don't know how many people out there watch Love & Hip Hop. But recently they had an episode where his mother is on the show, and he's now on the show as well. But his brother committed suicide, and it was from main portion was from cyberbullying. He was being bullied online. He was being called an albino. He was having to take flack and stand up for his mother, who is also in the industry, his brother, Waka Flocka. And he couldn't take it anymore, and he killed himself. And in response to this, his mother, Debbie, she has initiated and created this organization against cyberbullying, and it's called RIP. And it means it's for reckless Internet posting. And it's exactly what you said, Jay. for people out there who are recklessly, impulsively putting this stuff onto the computer, and it's destroying people's lives. And it's just for them, just an impulse, like you said, just something spur of the moment. They don't put a lot of thought into it. It's just, hey, let me say this. It's really mean, so let me say this. Not really caring about the effects that it has on the people that they're bullying.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad that she started that organization, though. It's going to help. It's going to help a lot of people.
It is.
It is.
Especially like Waka Flocka, he's a big time, you know, he's really, really big out there. So, you know, having
he's
his mother
with
do
the kids.
That, it will touch everybody. It's going to touch
right.
people. Maybe it'll change a little bit, hopefully. Hopefully
it'll reach the audience.
Lives.
It'll reach the audience that it needs to reach, and those are the kids out there. I mean, Waka Flocka is popular, you know, with teenagers, and, you know, they gets the kind of, their kind of respect, you know what I mean? They say, oh, if this rapper is backing it, if Waka Flocka is promoting it, they're more likely to take an interest in it and to kind of check it out and see, you know, what it's all about. But I also wanted to say that this site, nobullying.com, for all those kids out there that are listening, or parents especially, if you go onto nobullying.com, they have a free 80-page guide to bullying and cyberbullying. And I think if you want to help to stay on top of this and be preventative for your children, then you should go on to nobullying.com and subscribe to their newsletter, and you will get a free 80-page guide to bullying and cyberbullying.
I think Toy Food Network, and works with them, because I know when I'm watching cartoons with my son, I know I see a lot of commercials, and I'm really glad to see people like Debbie and Cartoon Network and everybody really just stepping up, trying to knock it down a little bit, because you know, Cartoon Network has a lot of commercials, I think the most recent thing, it's kind of silly, but you know, it's a guy and a girl, and they do like these little rap shorts, like they're rapping about bullying, but to me it looks like it would be effective, because you know, even though they're being silly, they're speaking the truth, and I think it'll help reach some kids, whoever watch, you know, kids watch Cartoon Network all the time, so you know, they got
right, you have to have those commercials focused towards the kids, something the kids are going to look at. If it's just like a regular boring commercial, they're just going to tune it out, and they're not going to, you know, learn anything. So it's all about your target audience.
I'm really glad to see somebody stepping up for it, though.
Absolutely.
It was getting out of control.
Also, you know, I was reading some statistics and some facts about cyberbullying, and let's see, 87% of kids have witnessed cyberbullying, and that's up 3 times since the percentage of 2013 already. And 90% of those teens who have seen social media bullying say they ignored it. They never told anybody.
Wow.
Yeah, they never. Yep. They never did anything. And so it's not only the parents out there that need to be involved. It's the kids need to start reporting when things,
but
when
they
you see somebody being bullied.
But they feel like they're being a snitch. They feel like if they go ahead and tell somebody, they feel like they're going to be a snitch, and then it's going to end up happening to them. So because cyberbullying is like a cycle. It's like a cycle. It just keeps going and going. Yeah, they're looking for somebody else new to pick on.
They're having a new thing now that's called the bullying hotline, and this works whatever I'm trying to say. It works with the school, your school, different school systems, and basically you can call this hotline or you can text this number and report these children and teachers, but the children and you know, their friends, students, whatever, can report when somebody is being bullied, who's being bullied, whatever, and it's all anonymous.
Well, that's good. That's good.
You don't have to. Right, and you don't risk the chance of somebody finding out, oh, she went to the principal's office and she was obviously telling on us because now we're in trouble. You do it anonymously on your phone. You know, you text it in and you say, so-and-so is being bullied by so-and-so, and it's sent to this hotline, and this hotline provides your school administrators with the information.
Oh, I didn't realize you could text it. That's even better.
Right. It's to help kids feel more anonymous so they don't think that they're going to get in trouble or, get talk shit about them bullied now because they're telling on kids that are they're bullying other kids.
That's awesome. That is an awesome thing. Do you have the actual number?
Let me find it. I can find it for you.
If you can find the number, then we can give it.
We can tell. I had it on here, but I lost it. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on. I'll find it.
Well, I'm glad that's invented because I'm glad somebody went through with that.
It's super smart, right?
It's incredibly smart because how many people really want to sit there and, like, I know kids, they don't want to go to the principal, they don't want to go to the teacher, but, you know.
But
they can also go to a counselor. I think that the counselors in school should actually talk to them about bullying and cyberbullying and give them this type of information so the kids know that there is a number you can call or text that this is going on, or they can talk to their counselor because that's what the counselors are for. They need to make sure there are resources for the kids so that it doesn't continue to happen.
I think this hotline needs to be in works with your school. In order for it to work. I have the hotline number. It's 1-800-420-1479. It's 1-800-420-1479. And I'm not sure if you just can call this and tell about someone's being bullied. Or if it needs to, you need to have them be working with your school administrators in order to work through their curriculum. But anybody that's interested, or if you want to advocate at your school against anti-bullying and cyberbullying, it would be awesome for some kids out there to take initiative to stand up and say that this isn't right and this shouldn't be happening and provide your school administrators, your principal, or your guidance counselor with the information. It's www.cyberbullyhotline.com, and the number that they can call in order to find out more is 1-800-420-1479.
All right. Well, with that being said, we are going to head into break, guys. I know I have to go to the bathroom, get a drink. I feel like I'm dehydrated as hell.
I'm having chest pains over here.
Oh, so have chest pains, Missy. I can't even take you right now.
Oh, my God, I'm so serious right now. But I think it's just indigestion.
Get yourself together.
I will. Can't breathe too
deeply. Well, guys, we are going into break. This is It's Real Talk Radio. I am Nizzy Nay.
This is Miss Behave.
I said Nizzy Hay. That should be my new name, Nizzy Hay.
It's bad when you mess up your own name.
I'm very clever.
I told you I'm dehydrated right now, so I'm messing up. I'm messing up my words. Okay, guys, it's break time. We are out of here. We'll be right back.
timer.
For that bread, I forget take a strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great, a nigga great. All my niggas great, all my niggas eat. All my niggas eat. We gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Why you get it out? Eat till we ate it out. A nigga great. Man, a nigga great. Rosé in my package, nigga. Fat Prince of Bella. Sipping 20 grand, count 20 grand. Had 20 grand before I had 20 fans. Greedy nigga. We're greedy niggas. We greedy nigga. Spicy 3-piece. Money the best, say though. Rolling up the best weed far away from a fake hoe. It's take money and take hold. I got a rain check, pimp. My gun a nigga charge to get you. And won't get no charges issued. That's just life when you bread for bread. Polo PJ's down with a bad bitch going head to head. Home greeted to my stomach, but niggas bitches playing pussy. We just want that money, huh? We just want that money, huh? They talking down, but nigga, we hella up. That shit fucked me up. Them niggas was never down. With my niggas pass the chat around. Told you we was greedy, nigga. Need money like I need my nigga. For that bread, I forget take a strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great, a nigga great. All my niggas great, all my niggas eat. All my niggas eat. We gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Why you get it out? Eat till we ate it out.
Yeah.
A nigga great. Man, a nigga great.
Benji Grant and Jackson. Benji Grant and Jackson. Blowing mold and you stash, you niggas hustling backwards. Neiman sent the beat, told me bring the whole trap out. So I flash back to 06 with 50 passion and Black Mac. Two birds made 100K, yeah, two birds made 100K. You grind hard, well, I grind harder, so I'm counting paper all day. Touch my bread, I kill them dead, no question that. 9-11, you ain't street, first time to beef, you calling peace. 9-11, all my niggas winning. What one got, we all got. That limelight we don't need, cause that attracts them half-knocks. Trying to cop this coupe, though. Engine where that truck be. Not stock, fast as fuck. You can call that 4G. Offset, bow leg. Shoes made by 4G. My money right, you counterfeit. Forgery. I do this for the revenue. Nothing like the rest of you. The kitty spit crack. Lead a booth full of residue.
For that bread, I forget take a strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great, a nigga great. All my niggas great. All my niggas eat. All my niggas eat. We gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Why you get it out? Eat till we ate it out. A nigga great. Man, a nigga great.
The streets are listening.
Yo, free my bro Chino, free my bro Jay. I see you, man. Money team shit. Shout out my bro Rob Meeks, man. Let's get it, bro. Let's roll. Catch up. Let's get it, shout out. Yo, we
got the good. I'm a trap star, raised in the hood, living like I should, just like my homie should. I'ma grab the wheel, but she's still gripping the wood. I'm doing it big, I knew I could. It feels so right, and I think it should. Sometimes I wanna fight, sometimes I wanna write. That's just responsibility to get out on the mic. I'm working overtime, she working nights. So I planned a vacation, now we just taking flights. Let it roll for that remix, that's why we in the whip. We stacking money while we grow, you can't fold a brick. My shit legit.
She rolling with me, I'm usually rolling low key. Can't picture me rolling without my heat. Split that swisher with that key and roll one up for me. Then hop up in the front seat. Thought she was funny the way she had me rolling. We roller coasting, we moving fast, but seem like slow motion. Going off that potion, I'll be going. Can't
take away hip-hop, couldn't be without it. Set my foot up in this game, you can't keep me out it. No masterpiece of Shelby, yeah, she body. Pay attention, man, do you hear what I'm saying? Since I've been up in the game, it ain't been the same. You know the six game, six main, insane. 40 balls, ain't that your frame. If you don't wanna feel the pain, stay in your lane. If you didn't know before, get to know my name. Used to call me Jane, but the name had to change. Another chick had the shit, I had to rearrange. Shelby to the raw, nickname, slick jaw, feet, yes, clarity, no flaws, picture you seeing me, hell no.
If you know the game, man, I don't mean a sound, they ain't brawler to my role. Since I'm the one that's tuned in, no one else can do shit, so I will abuse it.
Good looking, God-given talent. Ain't shy, if I see him like it, I'ma grab it. I got a money habit, I'm on a paper chase. I got the vision, no said, all I need is faith. And I can't wait to see the prophecy. Here on earth, just the way I see it in my dream. If you don't believe, then come and follow me. I'm headed straight to the top, ain't no stopping me. About a year ago, God gave me a vision. I seen things manifest, so roll with it. My life changed since the day that I started spitting. I'm more confident and content with being different. If my soul is with it, I gotta keep it moving. I came on with them every day and I don't wanna lose it. I hope they understand, this ain't no group shit. My steps is already ordered, I ain't choosing.
If you know the game, man, I don't mean a sound, they ain't brought a lot of to my role. Since I'm the one that's tuned in, no one else can do shit, so I will abuse it.
You know the background, now let's lay the facts down. Hardest to get down, go ahead and ask around. Yeah, it's going down, I know you hear the talk. That chick from Beantown, hands down, chick is raw. But she got bars, she write her own shit. Them other chicks heard a spit, now they wanna quit. That's some real shit, I stay on the grind. Only rhyming for a year, I ain't wasting time. Wait a minute, did they mention that the girl fine? Ultimate chick, plus I got my own mind. Some even got the nerve to say that I'm cocky. I call them haters cause they mad that they not me. And now I'm copy, I got my own flow. Roll a strong body like the head, here it go. Behind the boys, Mike Mac, ARS track. Let them know who I am, bring my horse back.
If you know the game, man, I don't
mean
the sound,
they
ain't brought a lot to my role. Since I'm the one that's tuned in, no one else can do shit, so I will abuse it.
Shelby,
if you know the game, man, I don't mean a sound, then you brought a lot of to my role. Since I'm the one that's tuned in, no one else can do shit, so I will abuse it. Shelby,
Mike Hurt on the track, ARS Production. Okay, yeah, Shelby, bro.
like Mark, well it's okay. Revenge on sale, how you wanna pay? You hear the choir singing, man, you better pray. I'm qualified to get it in, cause I don't play. Catch me lurking in the dark, creeping through the mist. Guaranteed that the streets gon' bang this. Niggas mad, yo, they hatin' cause I won't quit. It's 2 minutes past grind time, check your wrist. I got more projects you don't wanna miss. That's more where that came from, I got a long list. Naughty head in my cup, puffin' on fifth. Rest in peace, C-Mac, yo, I got this. My passion, breathe heat like a dragon. You already know, so why you askin'? Clowns like you front like they insane. Mark, I double everything around my neck is 2 chains. Old school shell heads without shoestrings. No skinny jeans and I don't wear earrings. I don't do what they do, I'm not trying to change. I'm doing me, Mark too, watch me do my thing.
You don't like Mark, well it's okay. Revenge on sale, how you wanna pay? You hear the choir singing, man, you better pray. I'm qualified to get it in cause I don't play. Don't like Mark, well it's okay. Revenge on sale, how you wanna pay? You hear the choir singing, man, you better pray. I'm qualified to get it in, cause I don't play.
Motivation in my heart, so I can't lose. Mainstream or underground, yo, I had to choose. Industry or industry, 2 different shoes. I got a thought process that'll blow a fuse. You can catch me slipping, but I'm ready though. Late night sessions at the studio. I'm all hip-hop, man, yo, you should know. I rap it like T and Stan, street legal radio. You grind to the realness, I'ma call you Ray. They tell lies, it's the truth that they won't say. I'm not new to the art, man, I do it often. When you spit on the stage, the crowd start yawning. I paint a picture with my bars, I'm a true artist. You bounce when I come around, cause you know I'm ballin'. I'm loving my life, so I'ma keep sparkin'. Why you feud with your family, Richard Dawson?
You don't like Mark, well it's okay. Revenge on sale, how you wanna pay? You hear the choir singing, man, you better pray. I'm qualified to get it in, cause I don't play. You don't like Mark, well it's okay. Revenge on sale, how you wanna pay? You hear the choir singing, man, you better pray. I'm qualified to get it in, cause I don't play.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Real Talk Radio. We are going into Jay Styles Approved, but I got something new for you guys. But first, let me tell you about the songs. The first song that you guys heard was Greedy by The Kid, featuring Holly Mayfield. The second song was Let Roll Remix by Rob Meese, featuring Ketchup, J. Caddy, Caution, and Coachella Gold. The third song was Raw by Shelby Raw, and the fourth song was Don't Play by Mark Two. So those were your June rotations. That was your June rotation. Now, not for J Styles Approved. Actually, this time is going to be a little different. It's going to be J Styles Disapproved, because everything that I talk about right now is everything that I disapprove. And this is only for the summer. It's about summer fashions, because some of y'all just wild out in the summer, and I don't understand it. I can't stop it. Like, the things I see, I work in the grocery store, the things y'all come in with, like, it's not acceptable. So I'm going to tell y'all about what's acceptable to do in the summer and what's not. And you'll thank me later, or you won't, or you'll just be mad. I don't really care. So, but I'm doing it in a little segment. But the first thing that I have to say is clean your belly. Like, if your belly hangs over your pants, like, I should not see your belly. Do not have a little cut-off, midriff, little shirt thinking you're cute because you're not. You got your 12-month beer belly right there. You got your, and even pregnant ladies, like, I don't, I'm glad you have your little bundle of joy, your bacon in the oven and all that good stuff. I do not want to see your belly. It's not classy, it's trashy. Keep it classy. Like, we don't, if you're belly goes over your jeans if you don't have a six-pack, if you don't have something to look at, if you have a bakery on your stomach. Like, don't show it. Tuck it in. Get a shirt that fits you. I don't want to see your belly button. Just cut it out. It's not acceptable. And so that was something that I saw this week, and I was unhappy. It was actually a pregnant lady with a cut-off shirt, and I was just like, I'm done for the night. So please just tuck your belly button. It's not that hot outside. Like, you can do it. And number two, the feet. Okay, and I say this because people often think that, you know, oh, nobody's paying attention to my feet. No, we're paying attention, especially if your feet are raggedy. Like, if you're ashy, put some lotion on. I know sometimes you can forget it, and you'll forget to put the lotion on, and that's okay for the one time. But I'm talking about the people with the feet that it look like you got to get a chisel and a hammer and chisel that crust off. Like, if you get a pedicure, like, there are Asians all over the world, like, they need jobs. They want you to come in there for the pedicure. Just go and get a pedicure. Make them scrub that stuff off. Get a foot scrub. They have home pedicures. Like, scrub your feet. Like, there's no reason for all that ash and all that crust. Like, I should not be seeing little flakes. I should not be able to follow you through the store and know exactly what you did by the crust falling off your feet. Like, it's not cute. And if you have crusty feet, like, there's no reason why you can't put on socks and shoes and some tennis shoes. You don't need to be wearing flip-flops. And so that is unnecessary. And if your toes do anything weird, if they cross over each other, if they point the other way, like, if your toes are doing something weird, think about if you want that on display. Because, I mean, you know, it's going to draw attention, and you probably think it won't, but it really will. And, I mean, if your pinky toe is going over there and your middle toe is going over there, like, it's weird, and I don't want to see it. I just don't. So socks and shoes are acceptable in the summer. I approve of socks and shoes. I do not approve of crusty feet. So the third thing I'm going to address today is booty shorts. Booty shorts always need to be addressed. I don't know why nobody gets it through their head, but I do not want to know how much meat you have on your taco. Well, you know what? Hey, you put it out there, this is what you get. I don't want to know how much meat is in there. You don't need to, like, let her breathe. Let her breathe.
God.
Let Summer Eve breathe, baby. There's
no reason. You're talking about coochie cutters.
I'm talking about the coochie. Like, let the coochie breathe. Let her have some air, because she's going to get angry. Let me tell you something, and this is scientific. Like, she's going to get angry. She's going to burn and itch like never before if you got it all cooped up. Like, she wants to be
And
free.
You'll give yourself a yeast infection.
You'll give yourself a yeast infection, and it will be nasty, and it will be mean, and it will itch like never before. Like, I don't need to see your butt cheeks. Like, that's not going to, I don't know. Does that do something for somebody? Like, it probably does something for somebody, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to see your ass. Leave me to imagine your ass. Like, let me imagine it if I want to. I want to know if I'm like, ooh, she looked good. Or, you know, I mean, I'm never going to do that. Snowball's chance in hell, but, you know. Just let somebody imagine it. Don't show it off. But if the booty shorts, wear regular shorts. Why not? Your little regular cotton shorts. Those are sexy too. There's no reason. But all three of those things, J-Styles disapproved this week, and you guys can find out what I'm gonna disapprove next week. Because, I mean, there's so much more. Summer brings out the weird. Summer brings out the ugly in people, and I, you know, there's so much more for me to attack. So find out next
week.
Will
you be discussing the butt crack?
I will be discussing butt cracks, booty cracks, all kinds of cracks. But
I can't wait for the next installment.
Everybody's got my Facebook, facebook.com/JStylesApproved. Go on there, let me know what you disapprove, and I will, you know, I'll put it out there and let some people know. Some people don't. It's not even that people don't care. It's like people don't know. Like, and I don't understand why people. I disapprove of the people that let you walk out the house looking ratchet. Like, I disapprove of those people. I disapprove of those people that say, "Oh yeah, girl, you look good with your little camel toe and your crusty feet. Like, you look good, girl. Let's go. We got to go. Like, I just approve of you. If you do that, I just approve of you. You get the side eye there. Because that's not right. You don't look. Missy Nate, you do that? Don't do that.
Missy Nate,
do you do that?
Do you let people
walk out the house looking crazy?
I mean, if they feel as though they need to, then they need to. I ain't saying nothing to them.
Missy Nate, no. It's the stamp of disapproval. I disapprove of you, Missy Nate.
I'll be the one sitting there talking about them, like, look at this ratchet chick walking out the house looking like that. Oh, girl, you look good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Missy Nate, you get the look. No more. Well, that was just out of place, guys. That's all I got for you today. You're a mess. I can't.
So I think we should probably, when we come back on the cyberbullying, I'm sorry. Let's start out with another case that was really huge in the media. And this one is a case of Megan Meyer. And this is from 1992. So she passed away in 2006. So I think that puts her as 14 as well, right?
Yeah, it does.
She's 13. I'm sorry. Almost 14. Okay. In December 2007, Tina Meyer founded the nonprofit Megan Meyer Foundation. The nonprofit was named in honor of Tina's 13-year-old daughter, who hanged herself in a bedroom closet in October of 2006. Megan struggled with attention deficit disorder and depression, in addition to issues with her weight. About 5 weeks before her death, a 16-year-old boy named Josh Evans asked Megan to be friends on a social networking website, MySpace. The two began communicating online regularly, although they never met in person or spoke on the phone. Megan had a lifelong struggle with weight and self-esteem, Tina said on the foundation website, and now she finally had a boy who thought she was really pretty. In mid-October, Josh began saying he didn't want to be friends anymore, and the messages became more cruel on October 16th, 2006, when Josh concluded by telling Megan, "The world would be a better place without you." The cyberbullying escalated when additional classmates and friends on MySpace began writing disturbing messages and bulletins. Tina said on the foundation website that it was about 20 minutes after Megan went to her room after leaving the computer that the mother found her daughter hanged herself in her bedroom closet. So she went straight from the computer to her room and hung herself. Megan died the following day, 3 weeks before what would have been her 14th birthday. Now, the aftermath of this case is, according to the Associated Press, it was later that fall when a neighbor informed Megan's parents that Josh was not a real person. Instead, the account was created by another neighbor, Lori Drew, her 18-year-old temporary employee, Ashley Grills, and Drew's teenage daughter, who used to be friends with Megan. 1 year later, the case began receiving national attention. While the county prosecutor declined to file any criminal charges in the case, federal prosecutors charged her with one count of conspiracy and 3 violations of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for accessing protected computers without authorization. A federal grand jury indicted Drew on all 4 counts in 2008, but U.S. District Judge George Wu acquitted Drew in 2009 and vacated the conviction. In addition to the Megan Meyer Foundation, Tina also worked closely to help Missouri legislature pass Senate Bill 818, unofficially known as Megan's Law, in August 2008. In April 2009, U.S. Representative Linda Sanchez of California introduced the Megan Meyer Cyberbullying Prevention Act. So I think, Jay, this is the one that you were talking about, the mother was the one that was bullying the girl, saying that she was a guy. Yeah. Any thoughts on this? Because I'm just thoroughly disgusted.
She had to go to jail?
No, she didn't go to jail.
She didn't commit
And this
a crime,
was an adult.
Yep, she didn't technically commit a crime, so there's nothing that they could convict her on.
And she was, how old was the lady that did that? 18?
It doesn't say how old she was, but she was an adult. It was her, employee. It was the woman, her 18-year-old employee, and
crazy.
Her teenage daughter.
I guess it wasn't no law to, at that time for that crime for her to be able to go to jail, but
right.
Definitely deserves some jail time for that because she was a big part of the reason why that girl committed suicide.
Right.
But that was
she is the reason, basically. I mean, the girl went straight from the computer to where the things were said that you it would be better if you weren't in this world to go back to her room and kill herself. I mean,
that's crazy.
We talk about children and, you know, what we were talking about earlier, how children are still finding their identity. They don't really know who they are yet. You know, so a lot of times bullies think that they're being cool or that it's going to make them popular or it's going to actually make other people not bully them. A lot of times kids are afraid of being bullied, so instead they turn into the bully to avoid being bullied. But this is an adult that we're talking about here, a grown woman who has nothing better to do than to create a profile of a young boy and pretend that this young boy is falling for this girl and then to completely destroy her by saying that she doesn't deserve to be in this world.
That's just so crazy she ain't getting no time for that. I've seen people get time for way less pettier crimes than that.
Well, there wasn't any, let's see.
It wasn't a law.
The county prosecutor
that
declined to file any criminal charges, but she was federally prosecuted, and they charged her with one count of conspiracy and three violations of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for accessing protected computers without authorization. A federal grand jury indicted her. Well, she was indicted on all four counts in 2008, but the U.S. District Judge George Wu acquitted Drew in August of 2009 and vacated the conviction. So she was convicted.
She should have done she should have did 10 years for that. Like somebody died because, like, not probably only because of her, but she probably played a big part because like other people was bullying too. But other people was bullying.
Well, the people
too,
that
right,
were bullying were teenagers. She is an adult.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. She should have got about 10. I say she deserved about 10 years for that. Definitely.
Yeah,
like about
she does.
10 years. Yeah, definitely.
But once again, that we see that there is no law that, you know, is preventative and proactive in the states that is preventing these people from cyberbullying because there's nothing to charge them on. They wait until someone dies and someone commits suicide until they enact these laws, which is absolutely ridiculous. Like I said, you see this thing over and over and over again throughout many states. And when this happens, you know, you should see, oh, well, all these states, the cyberbullying is being enacted as a law against this, you know, to avoid suicide in young kids. Why are you waiting? Why are these other states that don't have these laws yet, what are they waiting for? Someone to die.
Yeah. That's basically what it sounds like in, like, every case. They don't do nothing until something happens. And then they do something about it. It's crazy. When they know that
it's really sad.
It keeps going on, and it just keeps getting, you know, the people that are doing suicide, it just keeps building over time, until all the little kids are going to end up killing themselves.
So
do you think
that's a law? Like, do you think that the government is, like, turning a blind eye and, like, oh, we don't see anything, so it's not
they
there?
They don't think it's that serious.
I don't think that. I don't think that. I think it's, like, they just... It's so, every time you turn around, it's always like, it's like 99 problems, 99 times 99. And there's so many issues going on that they just, you know, I got to pay attention to the ones that's the most impactful. Though that's very impactful, and you got people that's just getting killed for no reason in their neighborhoods and gang crime and all that stuff. So it's so much stuff going on that even though that's horrible, I think, like, it don't get addressed the way we would like it because there's so much other stuff going on. And I think they just, you know,
well,
the stuff that's
the
most responsible for the most violence, the most crime, the most deaths and stuff is the stuff that gets paid attention to first. I think if it continues to, like, if it, like, spirals out of control, I think that it will be some adjustments made. But it's a shame that it would have to get bad to where a lot of people start dying and killing themselves and hurting themselves before something happens. You know what I mean? You know, that's, they got a, I know they got a bunch of campaigns and stuff going on with that. Like, people, I was watching videos on YouTube, and a lot of, like, teenagers and grade school kids are stepping up and making homemade videos about it, and people are stepping up, but now we need some laws so people can really be punished for doing that, so, you know, people won't want to go hurt themselves and feel like they don't have nowhere to turn to, you know, like, got to be protected by the law because that stuff is dangerous and people hurting themselves over it, so it has to be addressed.
Well, I think the issue that they've come across is it's been kicked down to a state level because on a national level, they say that it counteracts your freedom of speech. It goes against freedom of speech, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But that's the argument on a national level.
I think it depends on the level. Like, it's, you know, because people are going to be on social media saying, and if that was the case, everybody would be locked up, right? It depends
right.
on the level. When you're telling someone something like they should kill themselves, and you are sending them a bunch of inboxes and sharing posts with saying hateful things towards someone, and, like, you know them directly, and,
mm-hmm.
like, you know that you work with them or go to school with them or something like that, and, like, you have a direct, like, you have an impact because you know this person or you know people that know that person, and you can really just shred their character, you
right.
know? Like, you can just really just tear apart their
and
character.
And they do.
And when you have that type of power and you use it and abuse it that way, I think you should be punished. It's just different if somebody talking about Beyonce. Like, all right, I don't know Beyonce in real life, you know what I mean? Or whoever. You know, if you don't know the person
right.
in real life, it's kind of different. Just a random video somebody shared and laughed and commented on, that's one thing. When you know them personally and you're saying mean, hateful things, and, you know, you got the people that know them from the neighborhood or in
right, from school
or whatever, saying stuff and posting and sharing and saying hateful things and stuff, that's when I think is some punishment needs to be definitely some type of legal. You should be able to sue somebody or something, like, you know. But nothing
right.
would scare a, huh?
I said you're right.
Like, nothing would scare a teenager or a child more than telling them you're going to jail. Picture a 12-year-old like, yeah, we're going to lock you up. Because that'll chill them out real fast. You know, that'll
right.
chill them out real fast. If nothing else will, that will. Jail will definitely chill them out. And something definitely has to be done, that's for sure. Like, you can't just let people just abuse. Like, if you say, all right, there's, you know, it's freedom of speech or whatever, then you're going to go and look, and there's going to be more people hurting themselves, cutting their wrists, splitting their throats, hanging themselves. I don't know how the heck how does a 13-year-old even know how to hang themselves? I mean, God forbid, I don't think I could hang myself if I wanted to. Like, I wouldn't even know how to do it. Like, was she, like, Googled it or something? Like, how does she even know how
know.
To hang herself?
You I mean, and a lot of the kids
do.
What you mean? What I mean? Like, it's
what
not.
What do you mean?
It's not a. I mean, like, you gotta know how
it's
to do
not
it.
It's a rocket scientist, though. Is it? I mean, it's
no.
I mean,
but
I
you
don't
have
know,
to
man.
Know how
like,
to.
You gotta be able
but
to.
The thing about
like,
it is,
it
they,
to,
they don't know how
don't
to do
know.
It correctly. I mean, and that's just an example of just that girl that we just talked about. She didn't die right away. She didn't die that day. She died what? Let's see, 3 weeks later, I think they said. So
not
she,
three
you know.
Weeks later,
I think that's what they said 3 weeks later.
So she crushed out the road or something?
She must have. Oh, I'm sorry, no. She died the following day. 3 weeks before her 14th birthday.
I don't know. You said it's rocket science. It's not rocket science. Do you think you can hang yourself?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go do it then?
Yeah, I watched too many movies, and I've seen that happen.
I dare you to do it right now, live on.
That's bullying.
I dare you to do it right now.
Exactly. He's trying to bully me now.
You see how easy that was, though? Like, and that's what I'm talking about. Like,
that stuff
like,
is horrible, though. Like, that stuff is just crazy that some people can have that type of an impact on someone. Like, that's crazy.
So we have
another case
here.
Think, just like I said, it's on the internet, so it reaches everybody. It's different when you say something to a person face to face, and then, you know, like, you know, back in the day, meet me after fifth period, and I'm gonna F you up. You know what I mean? It's different now. Everything is on the internet, and it gets to everybody, and it stays there, and it haunts you and haunts you and haunts you.
Yeah, it
so
doesn't, like, even before it gets to, like, suicide, kids who are cyberbullied, they're more likely to use alcohol and drugs, to skip school. They're also the ones being bullied in person. They get lower grades. They have lower self-esteem. They have more health problems. It's a lot of things that affect them negatively before they even get to the stage of suicide. You know, and like we said, the parents need to be involved. The parents need to, you know, have their passwords to their social media sites. They need to have their passcodes to their devices. They need to be staying up on it and randomly check to see, A, you know, check for their safety, not just from being bullied, but from other things as well, but also check and see if your child is the bully. Parents need to be involved. Bottom line.
I think this is a whole, like, this is a type of situation where it takes a village to raise a child. Like, we need
Absolutely.
The laws passed. We need the parents to step up and look. We also need the children that are, in, like, that are around it. We need them to step up, too. We need the principals to actually do something with them, like, to make kids feel like, come to me when you see this, and I will handle it. And we need to feel like they're really going to handle it. Like, I don't need to feel like you're, like, if my child's getting bullied, you're going to put the bully in a 2-hour detention, and that's
right.
It. Like, I need to feel like you're really going to step up and you're really going to make things happen. I mean, me as a parent, I need to feel like I can have trust in my child's school, that you're going to step up and you're not going to turn a blind eye, and some kid's going to come and tell you, hey, I saw this kid I saw this kid on the social media. Like, I need to feel like you're gonna do something, and I need to put that, you know, me as a parent, I'm responsible for that too. I'm responsible to make sure that my kid's not endangering other people's lives. I need to be sure that he's doing well in his own life too. So I think it's that type of situation where it takes a whole village to really, really get children on the right track. Like, the government, the parents, the other kids as well, other parents, everybody has a chance to step up. And I think that when everybody does decide to get on the right page and does decide, listen, this is what we're going to do, I think that'll go down so quick. There's not, like, cyberbullying, regular bullying, all of that bullying will go down so fast. Like, it will
it
not
needs
be
to be taken more seriously. And a lot of parents think of it as a rite of passage. Everybody's been bullied at some point. Yes, that's probably true. But like we said, back in our day, it was different. You got bullied at school, you went home, and you had your peace. These kids get no peace. They don't have somewhere, a safe haven to go, because they're in their own homes and they're being bullied. They're being bullied in the public everywhere they go, at home, at school, you know, on the internet, everywhere they go. That's why this cyberbully hotline is such a good idea. I mean, by working with this, I read a little bit more over the break about the cyberbully hotline. And basically what they need to do is it supports your bullying and violence prevention activities by giving students and parents a secure pathway to report problems. Basically, your school signs up with the cyberbully hotline, and you get your own local hotline number, and you get a free training and all that. The school gets trained for free. Then people can start making reports via text message or phone, and they're auto-screened by system, and messages with words like gun or suicide, they're flagged as high priority, so they're seen right away. And system administrators are notified of new reports via text message instantly. So anytime this is going on in the school, pull out your phone, text it, and it can be dealt with right away. And that's why I think this is such a great tool. And the parents can do it too, and it's all anonymous.
Well, see, that would be the parents' job, because if you have a child that's a little bit young, to really, well, shouldn't even be too young. You're on social media, you're not too young to find it. But I think as a parent, like, it's your job to say, hey, I'm going to put this number in your phone. You see something, if you don't feel comfortable going to your parents' principal or coming to me, and you need to tell them, and somebody will do something about it. Like, I think you as a parent, you should be able to step up and say that. Because I know,
yeah,
I would. If my child was old enough, I would put it in his phone. I'd be like, look, do you see something, say something.
Exactly.
And
unfortunately, they're saying now the cases of cyberbullying reaches all the way down to kids of 8 and 9 years old.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, 8 or 9 year old shouldn't be on no social media anyway.
Well, it's not just social
media.
Well, it's through text
messaging.
When you
say cyber, email, text, with all of that stuff, like, I think that's just too young to be doing all of that.
You're too young to be even having an email. Like, 8 and 9 year olds should not. Like, I mean, I know my little sister. She's 8 and she has an iPad. So, and it would be naive. But like I said, her mom does not like give two f's about what she does. So she has an iPad. I know sometimes she'll text me from like one of those little free texting apps. So. Yeah, I mean, they have access to it. They're going to find it.
Yeah,
so
they find a way. And kids are getting younger and younger that start having, you know, the access to electronics, you know, that
not my children.
They deal with
they're
social media.
Be,
and
they're going to work like 12 before they
I agree.
Have like a iPad or anything like that, a smartphone or any of that.
My son is 9 years old. He has a DS. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's as far as you probably should go with that age.
I mean, I have a tablet. He plays on my tablet. But that's my tablet, and I keep track of it.
Yeah, these parents do gotta. Parents do gotta step up. Let's talk about some of these parents too, like their roles in this, like. Parents got to step up and talk to their children, communicate with them. Like, I know you're that parent and you're that guardian and all that stuff, but I think you should still try to be, like, your child's friend, too. Like, make your child feel open enough, not embarrassed to come to you. Because you got some parents that'll be like, you let somebody bully you, and they're ready to spike them right there. Like, they're ready to spike them or hurt them because they let somebody do it. You better go F them up, and that's not always the right response, neither. You know what I mean? Like, because that's
right.
Like bullying.
That's what my dad
like,
told
bullying
me.
Them too. So when your child is scared to come to you to tell you about something serious that's going on in their life because of how you might respond, that means you're a bully to your own child. A lot of these parents are bullies too. They're
yeah.
bullies. I've seen that people slap the crap. Like, I know one female that slapped her child. I think that child like nearly fell down the steps, and this was outside. I mean, like, slapped them, like, and they went back. And I'm like, yeah. And then she slapped them in the face, too. Well, this was years ago. This is back. Our children are grown now. And, you know, needless to say that they are bitter. Children, like, towards her like that. You can tell, like, they don't really, like, they, like, rebel. Like, they don't, you can tell they don't really respect her like that. And it's like, I saw that coming because of how she, like, brought them up, and she bullied them. They used to come to me and say, like, they're hungry, you know, and I'd be like, you know, they'd say, like, shut the F up, you ain't getting no food. Pop, pop, you know. You know, you feel sorry for them, but it's like, it's not your child, what you gonna do? You know what I mean? So I've seen it happen. Like, but parents be bullying, too. your child should definitely feel open to be able to come to you and tell you what's on their mind, you know. Some of these parents need to check themselves and understand that some of y'all are bullying your children, and y'all ain't doing nothing but adding fuel to the fire and making it worse.
That's right.
And some of these people need to have their children taken away from a language. Now, everybody don't need to have kids.
This is true.
For real, well, man, because it's like, if your child ends up becoming a bitter, hateful, spiteful person, I might be the one to end up getting robbed 5 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, that could affect me. You know, they just are a hateful person because of how they was brought up, so much violence and abuse and so much bitterness built up. I just so happen to be walking down the street minding my business. Here I am getting robbed by your 18-year-old child that was tormented and tortured their whole life because of you, the parent, you know? And now they going around infecting the community, selling drugs and shooting at people and robbing people. And that stuff has an effect on everybody. Like, everybody has a responsibility to raise their kids the proper way and treat them with courtesy, respect, morals, values, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, there's a difference from disciplining your children and bullying your children. And people need to, if you don't know the difference, then you shouldn't have children. If you have children, they need to be taken away. Seriously.
Well, guys, it's about that time for Just the Facts with Misbehave, me. tonight my article is a little bit long, and it's kind of outdated, so some of the stats might not be up to 2014, but I think that it's a good article, and I think it gives you a lot of good information. Bullies and mean girls have been around forever, but technology has given them a whole new platform for their actions. As adults, we're becoming more aware that the sticks and stones adage no longer holds true. Both real world and online name calling can have serious emotional consequences for our kids and teens. It's not always easy to know how and when to step in as a parent. For starters, our kids tend to use technology differently than we do. Kids and teens today start playing games online and sending texts on their cell phones at an early age, and most teens have smartphones that keep them constantly connected to the Internet. Many are logged onto Facebook and chatting or sending text messages all day. Even sending email or leaving a voicemail seems so old school to them. Their knowledge of the digital world can be intimidating, but if parents stay involved in their kids' online world, just as you do in the real world, you can help protect your kids from online dangers. Fortunately, our growing awareness of cyberbullying has helped us learn a lot more about how to prevent it. Here are some suggestions on what to do if online bullying has become a part of your child's life. What is cyberbullying? Cyberbullying is the use of technology to harass, threaten, embarrass, or target another person. By definition, it occurs among young people. When an adult is involved, it may meet the definition of cyber harassment or cyber stalking, a crime that can have legal consequences and involve jail time. Sometimes cyberbullying can be easy to spot. For example, if your child shows you a text, tweet, or response to a status update on Facebook that is harsh, mean, or cruel. Other acts are less obvious, like impersonating a victim online or posting personal information, photos, or videos designed to hurt or embarrass another person. Some kids report that a fake account, web page, or online persona has been created with the sole intention to harass and bully them. Cyberbullying also can happen accidentally. The impersonal nature of text messages, IMs, and emails make it very hard to detect the sender's tone. One person's joke could be another person's hurtful insult. Nevertheless, a repeated pattern of emails, text messages, and online posts is rarely accidental. A 2006 poll from the national organization Fight Crime, Invest in Kids found that 1 in 3 teens and 1 in 6 preteens have been the victims of cyberbullying. As more and more youths have access to computers and cell phones, the incidence of cyberbullying is likely to get worse. Effects of cyberbullying. No longer limited to schoolyards or street corners, modern-day bullying can happen at home as well as at school, essentially 24 hours a day. as long as kids have access to a phone, computer, or other device, they are at risk. Severe or chronic cyberbullying can leave victims at greater risk for anxiety, depression, and other stress-related disorders. In some rare but highly publicized cases, some kids have turned to suicide. The punishment for cyberbullies can include being suspended from school or kicked off of a sports team. Certain types of cyberbullying also may violate school codes or even anti-discrimination or sexual harassment laws. Signs of cyberbullying. Many kids and teens who are cyberbullied are reluctant to tell a teacher or parent, often because they feel ashamed of the social stigma or because they fear their computer privileges will be taken away at home. The signs that a child is being cyberbullied vary, but a few things to look for are signs of emotional distress during or after using the internet or the phone, being very protective or secretive of their digital life, withdrawal from friends and activities, avoidance of school or group gatherings, slipping grades and acting out in anger at home, changes in mood, behavior, sleep, or appetite. How parents can help. If you discover that your child is being cyberbullied, talk to him or her about any experiences you have had in your childhood. This can help your child feel less alone. Let your child know that it's not his or her fault and that bullying says more about the bully than the victim. Talking to teachers or school administrators also may help, but take cues from your child. Many schools, school districts, and after-school clubs have established protocols for responding to cyberbullying. These vary by district and state. But before reporting the problem, let your child know that you plan to do so, as he or she could have concerns with tattling and might prefer that the problem be handled privately. Other measures to try. Block the bully. Most devices have settings that allow you to electronically block emails, IMs, or text messages from specific people. Limit access to technology. Although it's hurtful, many kids who are bullied can't resist the temptation to check websites or phones to see if there are new messages. Keep the computer in a public place in the house, no laptops in children's bedroom, for example, and limit the use of cell phones and games. Some companies allow you to turn off text messaging services during certain hours, and most websites and phones provide the option for parental controls, which provides parents with access to their children's messages and online life. Know your kids' online world. Check their postings and the sites kids visit, and be aware of how they spend their time online. Talk to them about the importance of privacy and why it's a bad idea to share personal information online, even with friends. Encourage them to safeguard passwords. Write up cell phone and social media contracts that you're willing to enforce. Look to the web for resource and support information about cyberbullying. If your son or daughter agrees, you may also arrange for mediation with a therapist or counselor at school who can work with your child and or the bully. When your child is the bully, finding out that your kid is the one who's behaving inappropriately can be upsetting and heartbreaking. It's important to address the problem head-on and not wait for it to go away. Talk to your child firmly about his or her actions and explain the negative impact it has on others. Joking and teasing might seem okay, but it can hurt people's feelings and lead to getting in trouble. Bullying in any form is unacceptable. There can be serious and sometimes irrevocable consequences at home, school, and in the community if it continues. Remind your child that the use of cell phones and computers is a privilege. Sometimes it helps to restrict the use of these devices until behavior improves. If you feel your child should have a cell phone for safety reasons, make sure it is a phone that can only be used for emergency purposes. Insist on strict parental controls on all devices if there is any history of your child making impulsive decisions when they are online. To get to the heart of the matter, sometimes talking to the teachers, guidance counselors, and other school officials can help identify situations that lead a kid to bully others. If your child has trouble managing anger, talk to a therapist about helping your son or daughter learn to cope with anger, hurt, frustration, and other strong emotions in a healthy way. Professional counseling often helps kids learn to deal with their feelings and improve their confidence and social skills, which in turn can reduce the risk of bullying. If you're tech savvy yourself, model good online habits to help your kids understand the benefits and dangers of life in the digital world. So I know that one was a long one, guys, but I think it was important to get that information out to those parents who really don't know what to do, how to stop it or how to prevent it.
It was important information, and, you know, you have people of all ages browsing the internet and even listening to shows and all that stuff. So if you are someone who has a child in this situation, or if you are a child or a teenager in this situation, or anybody in this situation, like, you know, definitely, you know, take some of these notes into consideration and definitely try to reach out to someone. Heck, even reach out to us. You know, you can hit us up, itsrealtalkradio@yahoo.com. And, you know, we got you, too. You know, we got your back. You know, we'll, you know, we people, we for the people, basically. Like, you know, we for the people. We help people in any way, shape, or form that we can. And, you know, I'm more than willing to share my advice, to, you know, email, whatever.
Also, parents out there, I said this earlier in the show, but if you didn't listen or you missed the show earlier, if you go on nobullying.com and subscribe to their free No Bullying newsletter, you will get a free 80-page guide to bullying and cyberbullying. So if you're kind of feel that you're out of the loop, and this is new, this is a 2014 book, it's very relevant, and it may help you to prevent or to help decrease the activities of cyberbullying, either if your child is the bully or if your child is being cyberbullied.
I don't doubt.
Okay, I'll approve the vouch.
I'm trying to figure out what that noise is. Yeah, like, I'm not sitting here listening, like, whose phone is it? Oh, somebody must be in front of a fan or something.
It's not me.
Is it gone now?
Yes.
Yeah, that was what? Jay.
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. It's hot. I'm hot. Oh, yes. The fan was on and I was feeling good. But
you don't know how many nights I sacrificed having a fan off so
the phone would pick it up.
And I was just, every Monday night is treacherous for me during the summer. I ain't even gonna lie. Unless I got that sensual air on. That sensual air ain't on, I'll be feeling it, boy.
it was great.
Hey, you know I'm a
I'm feeling
I'm a
it right
player.
Now. I'm dehydrated as hell right now. That's why I keep calling I'm dehydrated.
And then get some fluids, like, get it together. Y'all are broke. Y'all got a broken crew today. Everybody's got something wrong with them today. I'm done with y'all. Y'all are broken.
Hey, I'm better now. I'm fine now. I'm back to my fighting stance.
You were broken earlier. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. You're dehydrated. Say, I don't know
what's
wrong.
I made a comeback. I might
not return you, but definitely Nizzy Nay. I don't know, maybe not say. He hasn't said anything about nothing yet, so. I don't know, I might return him anyway. I might just take him back anyway, because, you know,
definitely.
First she was dehydrated, now she's choking. I don't know.
She's choking now. At least Tay decided to join us. The end of the show.
You know, I was going. Even though I was tardy, you know, I was going to come through.
I knew you was going to pop in.
Yeah.
And Nissy just been waiting to find a reason to attack me because I'm always on her back, and so she couldn't wait for this opportunity to return the favor. That's all that is. This get even time. I think she's loving it.
You think she's plotting?
She's enjoying every moment of this. She's probably couldn't wait for me to get on the line, so just so she could say something. But
I don't know if she's actually thinking about you. She's dehydrated, remember?
I just want to say no to bullying. Like, step up to the plate for your friend, family, loved one.
For yourself.
Yeah, yourself, the whole nine. You know, and like, if you are someone who has a friend, family, or you know, member, whatever, like, you know, like, even if, like, you're the same age, so I'm talking to, like, the younger people right now, like, step up. You know, like, step up. Like, don't let your brother or your sister getting bullied. Step up to the plate, man. Don't be letting your you know, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your whoever.
Anybody.
Don't let nobody do that to your, you know, friends, family, none of that. Don't let nobody do that to your people. You know what I mean? Like, step up to the plate, and adults step up to go to the school if you find out. It's not just about telling your child to smack the hell out of that person. Like, go up to the school, you know what I mean? Like, talk to them, man. You know what I mean?
Get involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Represent. Step up to the plate. And as far as the people that's doing it, like, I just think that, you know what I mean? They just got to definitely, man. You know what I mean?
The people that are doing it need to seek counseling. They need some sort of, you know, therapy, whether it be through a therapist on the outside of school or seeking help through the guidance counselor. But it's something within them that's allowing them to do this to other people and to help. If you are a bully and if you are bullying other people to avoid being bullied yourself or to make yourself feel better, just know that there's a better way. You don't have to do that. You don't have to hurt people in order to feel better about yourself. And I think that you need to talk to your parents or talk to your guidance counselor and seek some sort of help.
And the people that do it, like, it's going to come back on you. That's for sure. Like, you know, that karma is coming back tenfold. So you sitting there bullying somebody, something bad is going to end up happening to you.
I was a bully.
You don't even, it's like, you know, it's so not worth it. Like, you know, like you got to ask yourself, like, what is it, what do you get out of it, make you feel good about yourself? Obviously, you having some self-esteem issues that you're doing that in the first place. And know that, you know, karma doesn't skip anybody. It's going to come back bad, you know.
Wait,
that's
for sure.
I said I was a bully.
You said you wasn't bullied?
No, she wasn't.
I was a bully.
Yeah. How are you going to be a bully when you can't even say bully?
Somebody said
to
you.
Bully. It's like she's got her mouth full of food or something.
Bully. Well, Disney Nay, why were you a bully?
No, I'm not going to say nothing now. I'm not going to finish my damn story.
No. I just want
to
know why. Like, just tell me why you were one.
Y'all
are teasing
me. I don't appreciate this.
Oh, you are just fine, girl. You are just fine. Just tell us why. I would like to know why you were an actual bully. Like, why were you a bully?
I don't know.
You were bored?
When I didn't like somebody. When I didn't like somebody, I just used to talk about them. I was liked by a lot of people. I fit into all types of groups. Like,
it's always the most popular ones that do it.
I was friends with everybody.
So then you were peer
pressure. I did it because I just felt like it.
That is so mean and so wrong.
No.
I don't know.
That probably would explain why you're such a failure now, because karma came back.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
Shut the hell up.
Oh. Does she want some ice for that?
All right, guys, we better stop this. This is like so anti what our message is tonight.
Nizzy, don't pay Nizzy no mind. She wasn't no freaking bully. Nobody's ever been intimidated by anything Nizzy said.
Nobody's ever been frightened by a girl that's like 4'2".
Nizzy's not bullying. She's just clowning y'all. She's just tired. She needs some sleep.
Actually, in elementary school, me and my friends, we had a little clique, and we used to tease these girls to the point to where their parents came in, and we got yelled at, and we got kicked out of school for a couple of days because of it. Because that's how bad we were really teasing them really bad. We didn't like
them. But you
them.
See now that they that was like, completely wrong, right?
We were like the black girls, you know, the group. You know,
oh,
we all
she
had
was
like
a
little
white
names.
Girl.
Yeah, and then we teased the white girls. So
I don't believe you.
No.
I think you're making this up. I believe her.
She
was over
there.
This girl has one bullying bone in her body.
Serious.
Well, she doesn't now, but did you know her in all
this
school?
It don't
you
matter.
Went to a predominantly white school.
She just don't. She's just not cut out for it. Like she don't have that.
Not now.
She don't have that factor that can.
I don't know how she was in elementary.
You know what I mean? She don't have that factor. Everybody can't be a bully. It takes a certain type of person. Nizzy Nay doesn't have.
I don't know how old I was.
They were right to sit there and let the one black girl in school bully a bunch of white kids.
Because she had a clique of black girls.
What, like five of y'all
that's
against 200 white kids? Get out of here, Nizzy.
I'm serious. And the one of the girls that I used to make fun of, actually, she still doesn't like me. Because she remembers that.
All right, well, so
I
next week, we'll see y'all next Monday. It's Real Talk Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as usual. We're not going to sit here and listen to Nizzy Nay reminisce about her fantasy elementary school life that she made up in her head during the show. Say no to bullying. You know, represent, stand up, fight the power. You know what I mean? Try not to be nonviolent, but... If you got to slap the hell out somebody to represent, if that's what it comes to, then do what you got to do, if need be. But let violence be the last resort, and that's all I got to say. You know, step up, represent, everybody hold it down, stick together, say no to bullying, cyberbullying, all of that. It can't happen. We can't let it happen. We got to represent, point blank.
You don't want to say anything to the people that are getting bullied? Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the people that are getting bullied.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, because you're talking to the people that are bullying.
No, he's talking to the people that are getting bullied.
It's too late, y'all.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
It's
over with, guys.
It's too late. I'm going to holler at y'all next week on the show. Next week, we'll see y'all next Monday night, 9
p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Exactly.
Miss
B.
This is Misbehave.
Stay real, man. Stay real in the building.
Stole my exit, jerk.
That's because we all
right,
we ain't got no type of order right now.
I'm just out.
And I'm Nizzy Nay, and we are out of here, guys.
Catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Say no to bullying.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.